May this be more than just a sermon. May this be a message from the Lord, a word more than a study of a song, but a word from the Lord to us, our hearts. Verse 1 begins, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous," those who have been made righteous. Only they will. They're the only ones that will rejoice in the Lord Himself. Many people rejoice in many things, but God's people rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Their God, their Creator, their Savior, their righteousness, their wisdom, their Savior. Praise is comely for the upright. The upright. Those whom God has quickened. Praise is comely. It's fitting. It's becoming. It's fitting. Praise. Psalm 92 says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Sing His praises. What we're doing here is a good thing. It's not only our duty, it's a great privilege and an honor and an enjoyable thing if the Lord enables us to enter into it, to worship. It's a good thing. Good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Comely. Praise is comely. Praise means extolling and honoring. We're here to honor our God. That's why we don't make, have special services to honor fathers on Father's Day and mothers on Mother's Day and this and that and the other. Right? We don't know. Every day is the Lord's Day and we honor Him. We praise Him. We've given Him all the honor and the glory for all things because, as our brother prayed, what do we have we haven't received? It's comely, it's fitting, it's right. He well deserves the praise. Praise the Lord with the harp. Music, the instrumental music is scriptural. Scriptural with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 string. It says, sing unto Him. Do this unto Him. Sometimes we're able to sing unto Him, aren't we? Most of the time, though, we're so self-conscious. And I hate that. I wish we could, don't you? Sing unto Him. Why did the Lord create birds? Huh? Who are they singing to? They wake up in the morning just singing, don't they? Who are they singing to? Not each other. Now, there are times when the male's calling the female and she's not listening. Or vice versa. But chiefly, the Lord made birds to sing to Him. If man won't do it, the birds will. Birds do. They sing unto the Lord. They fulfill their role, don't they? The Lord made them for. Sing unto Him. Verse 3. A new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I've heard some people before it. I wish they had read this. Play skillful. If you don't play it unless you play it skillfully. With a loud noise. With a loud noise. It's unto the Lord. Now here's what he says we're to the chief reason. This is where it all began. Praise to the Lord and rejoicing in Him. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Is right. It's right. I love that Psalm 119, 128. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Let God be true, right. And everybody else is wrong. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Don't you see it? His word is right about everything. Oh, praise our Lord. Thanks be unto our God for this blessed, blessed, blessed book. Where would we be without this blessed book? Instructions from our God. More than that, by the word of the Lord, we're born again. We're quickened. We're raised from the dead. We're enlightened. We're brought out of darkness, delivered from captivity. Delivered from ignorance, we're instructed, we're reproved, rebuked, corrected, conformed, comforted, consoled, cheered, restrained, constrained. This is life. These are words of life. These are not vain words and not the words of man. This is the word of the living God. And it's right. You want to know what's right? It's written. You want to know what to do? How to do what's right? It's written. You want to know how to be righteous? It's written. The word of the Lord is right. In a world that seems everything in it is wrong, God's word is right. And, oh my. And all His works are done in truth. All His works are done in truth. He's going to talk about His creation and His salvation. Those two great works. But His works are done in truth. All of them. All that our Lord says and does is true. He's true to His power. He's true to His glory. He's true to His wisdom. He's true to His character. All that He promises He will do is true. All that He warns of, He'll do it too. He's true. God can and should be believed and trusted. He's right. He's true. He is the truth. Christ is the truth. Believe Him. Trust Him. Rest in Him. He will. All that He does is done in truth. In truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. David said, "He that ruleth over men must be just." I like that. I look at that a lot. He that ruleth over men must be just. He must know what's right and how to do it. Treat men right. Ruling in the fear of the Lord, he said. Just. Our God is just. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The opposite's true. He hateth iniquity and lies. The Lord loveth righteousness. It's His holy character to love righteousness and hate iniquity and to judge or deal righteously. I'm so thankful. Our God, our Lord is just. He's just. He loveth righteousness and judgment. He particularly loveth His righteous Son. In particular, He loveth His righteous Son. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. And we're accepted in Him. All those who believe Christ are accepted in Him. The Lord said so. He's just. He said so. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Those who've been made righteous by Christ. The Lord loveth. He loveth them. And will deal righteously with them. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 145 says that His tender mercies are over all His works. The Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies over all His works. All His works praise Him. Oh Lord, and thy saints bless Him. Everything the Lord does praises Him. Praises His goodness. The saints bless Him. They thank Him. They worship Him. Saints do. The world doesn't. Men don't, most for the most part. Listen to this, what this old writer said. He said, "To hear the worthless inhabitants of this earth complain, you would think that all God does is evil, when everything He does is good." If you just look at, he says, look at the operation of His hand, everything is marked with mercy. There's no place where His goodness does not appear. The overflowing kindness of God fills the earth. Even the iniquities of man don't prevent His goodness. He causes the sun to rise on the evil as well as the just, the good, and sends His rain upon the just as well as the unjust. His tender mercies are over all. The Lord is good to all. Yes, He is. Even to the forward. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Full of it. I'm a praise of the Lord. That's why we're here. Praise His goodness. All right? There's two things here He deals with now. His chief goodness. Both of them are by the word of the Lord. The word of creation. Stay with me. This is wonderful. The word of creation. He spoke and made everything. Oh, He's to be feared. To be worshipped. our Creator. And when we're talking about our Creator, we're talking about Christ too, aren't we? By Him, all things were made that are made. He is Christ our God, we just sang, and our Creator. The word of creation and then the word of salvation. The last four or five verses talk about salvation, His mercy. All right? By the word of the Lord, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Read on. And all the hosts, the stars, the sun, the moon, the star, all the host of them, by the breath of His mouth, He gathers the waters of the sea together like a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Oh, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand, of the world stand in awe of Him. Who? Our Creator. Our Creator. My, my. How much does Scripture speak of this? The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night after night knowledge. There's no language, no speech or language where this is not heard. God's marvelous creation. The lines gone throughout all the earth. The words to the end of the world. The whole heavens and the earth and everything declares somebody made us. Somebody glorious. Somebody praiseworthy. Somebody infinitely glorious in His wisdom, in His power, in His person. To be feared. God in whose hands our breath is. And all our ways. He giveth our breath, we live. Taketh it away, we die. And all the world stand in awe of Him. Our Creator. Fear Him. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God's greatest creation is this right here. Man in His image. He said, let us make man in our image. Image? Jesus Christ. The image of God. Let us make man. And when God, you know, when God created all things, and then man was His crowning achievement and creation. God said everything was good, and when it was all over after man, what did He say? It's very good. Very good. Very good. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Only a fool would say there's no God. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You know that there are over 60,000 miles of veins in your body. 60,000 miles of blood vessels coursing through your body, and one little speck will kill you. Ain't we lucky? That's utter preposterous nonsense. Only a fool. You know, it takes utter, foolish, blind faith to believe this notion that all this just happened. And what it is, though, Peter said, men are willingly ignorant. Man is in rebellion against his Creator. He said, no God. I don't want a God. Why? Because if we have a Creator, He owns us. Cannot I do with mine own what I will? Christ said. Yes, and He does. Our God is in the heavens. What does He do? Whatsoever He hath pleased, like you do of your own. It's His right. What does He demand of man? Praise. Thank Him. It's what Romans 1 says, doesn't it? The heavens declare His glory. The firmament, the invisible things from the creation clearly show His power and His Godhead. All he requires is, thank me, praise me, honor me. Is that hard? Is that unreasonable? Is that difficult? No. Shouldn't be. But it is. If man's not just ignorant, he's willingly ignorant. Man's just not dumb. He is dumb, but he is stupid, but he's rebellious. And God's angry. God's angry. He spake, and it was done. Here in our text, it says, He gathered it all together as a heap, like the ocean. In the ocean, the most... The Lord said, Hitherto shall you come, and no further. For thousands of years, Hannah, the ocean has just come so far. What? The moon, the stars stay right where they are. That big ball of hydrogen, you know. Burning. Just sustains life on this planet. A fool hath said no God. Keep burning. It sustains our life. Water comes out of the sky. Can't live without it. It's the only planet. Call it the blue planet because it's full of water. Two-thirds water. Can't live without water. You'd die in 3 or 4 days without water. You can go several days, many weeks even, without food, but not water. Oh, what a picture that is of Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Water, just where's it come from? Where's water come from? It just falls out of the sky. Just falls out of the sky. And never runs out because it goes back up and comes back down. Amazing. He well deserves a praise, doesn't he? Thank you, Lord. Our brother thanked the Lord for the rain. How many do nothing but complain? Too much, too little. If it rains at all, city folk, if it rains at all. Ah, boy. God ought to burn this place up, shouldn't he? He is. My. Fear him. He spake and it was done. He commanded it, stood fast. Everything continues exactly like the Lord said it would. Nancy and I have talked before about the old wives fable to say, you know what the Bible says, that things are going to change, you know. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says after the flood, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, the Lord said, right after the flood. He says, it's going to stay the same. It'll stay the same. And that's what Peter said. They're willingly ignorant. They say, all things stay the same. Well, nothing's changed. Why? Because God spoke and it was commanded. And that's the reason it's done. Earth keeps rotating like it should, like it's supposed to. Why? Because God said, do this. Dictum, factum, said, done. Who has such power to speak and it's done? Why? Praise Him. He spake and it was done. All the counsel... Verse 10. The Lord brings the counsels of the heathen to naught. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Men get together, you know, all the wise men of the earth and women and all that, and they get together. And what they try to do, they have their big councils, and they're going to disprove God. And they've been doing this for thousands of years. Going to get together, all us wise men, we're going to disprove God. And they'll get some people believing them. And then they die and go facing. It's kind of like a group of ants getting together in my yard. A bunch of ants getting together in my yard and get more ants, get 1,000 ants, get 10,000 ants. You get them all on a great big ant hill, you know, big mass of ants. Get them all together and they all conclude that I don't exist. They get a real wise ant. He's standing up in front of them or sitting in a wheelchair and he's highly esteemed because he's a physicist or a nuclear idiot. Looking at black holes, and they think he's a wonderful, wise man, and they all believe him. Yep, that fella doesn't exist. All the time, I'm looking down at them. That's what this says. The Lord looking down upon them. It says he came down to Babel. They were building a tower. We're going to build one tower. Reach it as highest building ever. God came down, it says, to look and see what they built. He knew what they were doing. They're trying to reach the heavens, trying to reach God. See how high we can go, how high We can go up. What we can attain to. We're gods now. We've become gods now. God said, those ants. He doesn't exist. He that sitteth in the heavens laughs. Am I going to run? Please don't. Worse than that is, what if those ants, religious, what if they were religious? And they got together a big council to decide to let me do what I wanted to do. Though they believe in me, John. But they decided to go, he can't be what he wants to be unless you let him. But just a couple little ants. I pull them aside. Like brand from the burning. I say, now you listen here. I own you. And I own this whole thing. I'm your Lord. You are, aren't you? I can do with you as I please. Yes, you can. And I'm infinitely merciful and gracious and kind. You just acknowledge me. You just say who I am, and I'll lift you to the stars. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Christ is? Huh? You acknowledge your Creator? Do you? Why? He made Himself known to you. He made Himself known. You got the wisest, not many wise men at the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see your calling, brethren. There's so few so-called wise people of the earth that are utter fools. They don't even believe God is God. They think this book is a silly notion, an imagination of men. Well, this is the wisest, the most amazing and glorious book. This puts to shame every book ever been written by man. If there's any wisdom, any knowledge contained in anything that man has ever said, it came from this. If you keep looking, you'll find it. They discovered the earth was round one day, didn't they? They thought it was flat for years. If they'd have read Isaiah, they'd have seen it. He that sitteth on the what? Circle of the earth. Man's a fool. Fool. Why aren't we? God in mercy revealed Himself to him. God came down. Came to His own. His own received Him. I got to go on. That's my last few verses. The Lord looked down. Oh, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. What counsel? God's counsel stand. God held a counsel. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit held a counsel before anything ever existed. Before anyone. Before the world began. Before the foundation of God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a counsel. And He determined all things by that counsel of His will. He put into effect. He put into motion every single thing known unto God are all His works from the beginning, from that counsel. God in infinite power and glory and wisdom predetermined, predestined everything. Everything. That's God. Everything predestined. And it stands today. All of it shall stand. Everything He has said and done will. And that's who He is. And that, it says, His thoughts of His heart to all generation. Oh, blessed, verse 12, is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Pity people in Islamic countries, you know, have a God that's not God, but just nothing but a monster, a tyrant. Pity the Buddhists and Hindus and who have many gods. And they don't know what they're like at all. He has not really revealed. Pity people like, oh, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In every way, the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed unbelievably, inconceivably, for lack of a better word, unbelievably. Every nation to where this book of God has come is blessed in every way. There is what we call life, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. There's some value for human life. There's freedom. There's not tyranny or bondage. Men, women go and come as they will and work hard and be prosperous. Why? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed. Oh, but how blessed are the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. Oh, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. His particular people. Blessed is the nation, yes, where God's Word is, where the gospel is preached. But more blessed, most especially blessed, are those particular chosen elect people of God whom He brought the gospel to, and as we said, revealed Himself in you. Christ in you. Revealed who God is. What He's done. This is so great salvation. We wouldn't have a clue if He hadn't revealed to us. We'd be in darkness even as others. Oh, my. My, my. Blessed be the Lord. Praise the Lord. I might just sing something after this. It's just blessing me. Praise the Lord. He chose me. Me. To understand and know that He is God. He didn't do that for everybody. He doesn't have to. The heavens declare. Oh my. The Lord looks from heaven, it said, upon the sons of men. Verse 13 and 14. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. What does the Lord see when He looks down on man? You know, somebody came up with that, you know, silly little song, God is watching us. They think it's real cute. It ought to strike fear in us. I hope it. But what does the Scripture say? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, children of men, see if there were any that did understand what God is. And seek God. Seek what? Mercy. Forgiveness. Seek God. To know God. They're all gone aside, He said. They're all together. Put them all together, He said. It's not worth burning. Isn't that what Isaiah said? There's none that doeth good. Can't find one. None righteous. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? God looks at their works. What does He call them? Iniquity. Religion especially. Workers of iniquity. Why? Doing it for their honor, their glory, their name, build their buildings and so forth. Not for the glory of God. This is what God sees when He looks down. And God doesn't see as man sees. He looks on the heart. He says out of the heart. He said the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. That's what the Lord seeth. All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Can't be indifferent. We have to deal with God. Have to face it. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. If He's revealed Himself to you, if He's revealed to you His great salvation, now we're getting into it. Now, He says there's no king. Doesn't matter if he's a king. Doesn't matter if he's the most powerful man on the earth. He will not be saved. You see, the Lord looked down. What does He see? He sees man is lost, is corrupt, is undone, is dead and dying. Dead and dying. He needs saving. He's going to talk about salvation. Great salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. Belongeth to Him. He has to do it.
Man's lost. He's undone. He's in captivity. Man is corrupt. He's sinful. Man needs saving. And I thought about this long and hard before I say it. We don't need to be saved from terrorists, but from the terrible God. Do you understand? You do. That's why the fear of the Lord is beginning with it. The great and dreadful God, Scripture. How many people have a clue that he says that? Terrible. Thou art terrible, David said. Terrorists are God's sword. Yeah. Floods come from the Lord. Judgments, his wrath is revealed from heaven. God does all things. I, the Lord, do all these things. I, the Lord. We need saving not from nuclear bombs, but from the wrath of God. That's right. And only He can do it. And the first thing He does is make us realize that. Against thee and thee only, myself. I've lived all my life without giving you a thought. You ought to crush me like those ants. But God is rich in mercy. This God is not only just, He's a Savior. This God is not only angry with the wicked, He's merciful to the repentant. Oh my. But a king can't save him. He can't save himself. No man can redeem his brother or himself. A king can't be saved by a multitude. Doesn't matter how many people he gets together, he won't save him from God. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God's against us, doesn't matter if everybody's for us. Men get together, don't they? And they decide this and decide that. Is God on our side? That's not the question, is it? It's who's on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? He said, no king saved by a multitude of hosts. A mighty man can't be delivered by his strength, not strength of resolve, strength of will, strength whatever. It says a horse is a vain thing for safety. You can run, but you cannot get away from God. Can't do it. The thing to do is not run from Him. To run to Him. Over in Revelation, I was going to have you turn, but I'm out of time. It says there's going to be a great prayer meeting someday by all people on the earth. Hide us to the rocks and hills. Hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. And you turn it over a few pages, and there's some people, a multitude of people, praising the rock. Praising Him who hath hidden us in the cleft of the rock. Thing to do, not run from our Lord, is run to Him. Not cry to the rocks and hills to hide us, but cry to the rock of ages, hide me. Hide me. Because behold, whenever the Lord says this, we need to stop and think about it. This is the most wonderful thing. Behold, like He said in Isaiah 40, behold. Isaiah 42, behold, my servant. Behold, stop, the eye of the Lord. God who looks down on men and what He sees. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Upon them that what? Hope in His mercy. The eye of the Lord in great pity and great love and compassion and mercy. The eye of the Lord is upon them that what? Turn over a new leaf, that do good, that promise to do better, good little boy. No, that hope in His mercy. That fearing and hope in His mercy. My hope is built on nothing less than the Lord Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly and completely cast my soul, my care, my everything on His blessed name. Do I have a hope? My hope is that being a sinner though I am, the chief of sinners, that God is merciful and will be merciful, and His mercy endure forever. Do I have a hope? The Lord looks with great... You look on your children with... I was sitting there and looking up, and
I'm sorry, Hannah, but I was gazing at Isabella. I mean, you've grown up, you know. But I look into that face, and how you know how I look on her? Did you see me smiling at her? I look on her with nothing but love and mercy and compassion and kindness and pity. I pity her growing up, and my heart is for her. I would die for her. That's just what God did for His children. That's exactly, infinitely more He looks on His children. Do you ever go in and look at your children when they're laying in the bed asleep? Isn't that when your heart really goes out to them? You look on them and you feel, don't you? Oh, you look on. How much more? Can you believe that? You ought to, because that's where you got it. If you got an ounce of compassion, you got it from God. If you got an ounce of love, you got it from Him. God is love. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He looks on me, on His people with pity, with compassion, with love and mercy. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him to deliver their soul. The soul that sinneth is going to die, God said. It's going to die. It's going to die. He said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth will surely die. Oh, but God chose the people. He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to live. You're going to live. Why? How? God came down. God manifested in the flesh. God made His soul an offering for sin. God put on Him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. God killed His Son. Die. He says, now, them that are in Christ will never die. Live, He said. Christ said, because I died, you live. You live. Oh, my. Everyone's dead and waiting to die, aren't they? Waiting to die. But God, His great mercy quickened us, even when dead. And says, I'd keep them alive in famine. I would, some of you attend funerals and all of your loved ones, and you have to sit and listen to what they listen to. You see it in the paper, all this stuff, you know, big buck game contest and fashion shows and golf tournaments and all this stuff in the name of God. Bluegrass music and all this utter abominable stuff in the name of God. Aren't you glad you don't sit in that? Huh? Husks of religion. Got all the trappings and all the surroundings and all this stuff. Got wood, hay, and stubble. With no gold and silver and precious stones. Huh? While you feast on fat things, the body of Christ, wine on the lees, well refined, the blood of Christ, every time. All you got to do is come in here hungry. And you'll go out of here just full and overflowing. Or your cup will run over. That's all you got to do. Come in here. You'll hear verse after verse after verse of soul food. I mean soul food. Feed, sheep food, water of life for the thirsty, bread for the hungry, mercy for the guilty, salvation for the sinner, promises for the worrying, comfort for the desperate, freedom for the captives. Every time. Feasts. We're living in a day of famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of God's Word. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You haven't left us to ourselves. Left us in religion. Oh, my. We just don't know. We just don't know. Keep us alive in famine. This is life. We live on this. Our soul waiteth, he concludes by saying, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, our shield, our heart. Do you notice that? God's people are so one. It's our. It's all our. Us. Our soul, our help, our shield, our heart. The Lord's people are one in heart and soul.
He hath made of twain one new man. They're all one. They have one Lord, one faith, one hope, one way, one truth, one life, one God, one Father in whom they trust. One salvation. One refuge. They're all one. What a blessing. Religions fights and fusses and fights and splits and divisions and so forth. Our help, our hope, as long as He is my hope, is your hope, it'll be ours. It'll be us. And what God has joined together, no man's going to put us under. So marriage made in heaven. Our help, our hope, our salvation. Oh my. Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in His holy name. While the world is blaspheming His name, God's people are praising His name, making mention His name is exalted. And He closes with this short prayer. Last verse. Oh my Lord, let Thy mercy, oh Lord, let Thy mercy, let it be so, be upon us. Our greatest need. Man's greatest need. He doesn't even know he needs it. But I do. Don't you? I do. And that's perhaps why the Lord says more about His mercy than any other thing. Forever. Forever. Our greatest need is His mercy. And John, he keeps saying it over and over again as if we can't remember it, as if we despair of it, as if we forget it, as if we think, no, it's going to end sometime. No, he said, you listen to me. Listen to me. I'm merciful. I delight to show mercy. I take pleasure in them that hope in my mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Let Thy mercy be upon us. It is. It shall. It will be. Many sorrows. You can turn anywhere. You can turn anywhere in here. Across the page. Be glad in the Lord. It says the Lord's mercy shall compass him about. Anywhere. It shall be. According as we hope in thee. You keep hoping in God. And you've got a good hope. You keep hoping in Christ. Is Christ your hope? You got a sure hope. And the only reason it's called hope is because you're not there yet. But it does. He does say we're seated with Him. Blame that. He said it. Sure hope. Sure hope. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, John, you come. How great Thou art. Number 37. Hymn number 37. If we've never sung it before, maybe we'll sing it today. To the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing unto Him this new song. May it be new. Number 37. Stand with me.